Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. We've been having a Feast of the Word with Billy Brim this week, and you're going to continue that to receive. And we're going to talk about women today. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, we are. You know, Gloria, with seeings, I was brought up, I had a call of God on my life to preach, but our denomination said women can't preach based on your body. Mm-hmm. So I didn't understand that man isn't even a body. He's a spirit. He is a spirit made in the image of God. He has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and he lives in a body. When God calls you, he calls your spirit.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the ministry. So, but I didn't know that then. But just in talking about how God got me free. And yesterday we closed with talking about a responsa, what it is. They still have it today. They have libraries full of them, tens of thousands of books all over this world. And they are the written records of letters where a person or a group writes to a rabbi or a teacher and asks questions, and he answers it. So Brother Hagin is the one who first let me know that Paul was answering a letter. And we were working on the book, The Woman Question, and he said to me, Paul was answering a letter, but I didn't go into it in this book. But it planted a seed into me. And years later, going to Israel, I found out what a responsa was. And from 1 Corinthians 7 on, Paul says, now concerning the things you wrote me. And one after another, he has the questions they ask him, and then his answers.
His responsa.
His responsa. And now concerning spiritual gifts, now concerning things offered to idols, on and on.
Yeah, I see that.
So now you have to determine. Sometimes he says now concerning, and sometimes he doesn't. Like in chapter 9, they have written him challenging his apostleship. So the whole chapter is about that, and about his taking around a woman, a teacher, who is Priscilla, and about his receiving offerings. So he handles that and answers that. Now, we're going to come over, then he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, and then we come over to chapter 14, and this is their question. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is, or assemblies, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be also under the law, to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church, or the assembly, the gathering. Well, Paul's answer is, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. So, their question is, and how do we know it's their question? Because nowhere.
Now, what's the verse of the question?
The verse of the questions is 34 and 35. Nowhere does it claim in the Bible that women are to keep silent in the assemblies. They never, ever were told that in the Old Testament. Woman after woman after woman is used of God and speaks. Rachel speaks up to the, Esther speaks up to the king.
Yeah.
Deborah, the judge, judges Israel. Deborah's a judge in Israel. She's not keeping silence in the assembly. They go to Huldah the prophetess, and we're going to talk about some of these women. So why are we doing this? We are doing this to show that this was the question of the people that had written the letter to Paul, and that the New Testament nowhere tells women to be silent in the church. So Jesus came and set us free. Now, there is a kind of a war against women, and it's not political like some people claiming running for president. The war is between Satan and the woman, because there was promised to her a seed of the woman that is going to break his rule. So let us go back now to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Who is us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them, and God blessed them. Now, God created man in His image. We know from when He spoke to that woman at the well in Samaria, He said, God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's seeking those to worship Him. So if God is a spirit and we're made in His image, we are spirits. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotion. We live in a body that God formed there that day. But we are spirits. God created man in His own image. Now, in the Chumash, and Gloria knows what that is, it's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible with Jewish commentary. And this is a note. According to the Talmud, Eruvin 18a, if you want the reference, according to the Talmud, man was originally made of male and female components, which were later separated to form man and woman. Man and woman here are the Hebrew words ish and isha, but those are not names. That's just man and woman, or male and female. Their name was Adam. How do we know that? Look at Genesis 5:2. Male and female, ish and isha, created He them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. A creature of blood. Blood in the Hebrew is dam. Earth, the body's going to be made of earth. It's adama. And red is adom. So all these come from the same family of Hebrew words. Hebrew words are like a wagon wheel. And there is a root word in the middle. And this one's red. And so we have the red earth. We have the red blood. And I'm going to read to you from my book, The Blood and the Glory. This is, the blood of Jesus was not an afterthought of the Creator, taken in surprise at the fall of man. God never plays catch up to Satan. If He did, Satan could lead God. No, before God created man, He knew he would fall. Before God formed man, He foreordained his redemption with His precious blood. Man would be a spirit in God's image, on God's order and kind. Therefore, man would be able to fellowship God. Man would be able to love God. Man would be created to work with God, to have dominion over the works of God's hands. For such high eternal purpose, man could not be a robot. Spirit man would be given a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. Fallen Lucifer would tempt man's will, and man would fall into the tempter's hand. But God would redeem man. God would design man for redemption in His creation. God would make man a creature of blood. God was not restricted to create creatures of blood. Angels were not created with blood. Lucifer was not created with blood. God would call man Adam, connecting him in the wonderfully revealing Hebrew language to blood, dam, and to the ground, adama. Both blood and ground are red, adom. God would put man, spirit man, and his soul, his mind, will, and emotions, into a body, a flesh, made of the dust of the ground. The life of the flesh would be in the blood, Leviticus 17, 11, and 14. Man's body, an earthen vessel, could be broken and the blood poured out, a life for a life. If a divine one would go to earth incarnate and live without sin in a body prepared, his vessel could be broken and his perfect life poured out in his blood for the remission of all sin. In some eternal moment, in some heavenly place, the one we call Savior agreed to fulfill the Father's plan of redemption. First in heaven and eventually at Calvary, our Lord Jesus offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. Hebrews 9:14. So before man ever fell, God had it all planned. God had it. He knew they were going to fall. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. And we'll go down to verse 8. Well, I like verse 7. And Jehovah Elohim, this is Genesis 2, 7, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became, here's how Onkelos translates it, a living, speaking spirit. Mm. There are other, we have three classes, you know, animal, vegetable, mineral. The Jews have four. They have vegetable and mineral, and then they have the living category, the non-speakers and the speakers.
Mm.
So the dogs and cats and all those, they're not in the class with us. We are made the living, speaking spirits. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and you know that He told them what to do and what not to do there. And the Lord God, verse 15, Jehovah Elohim, took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So he is ordered to guard the garden. You're not ordered to guard the garden. That word keep is guard. You don't have to guard anything unless somebody is after it.
Yeah.
You don't have to guard your money unless somebody's after it. So then the Lord said in verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an...
help me.
No, not a help meet.
No?
No.
Good. What?
Not a help meet. That's what people say. That's what they heard preached all their lives. No, it doesn't. Look at your Bible.
My word.
And it doesn't say a helpmate. He says, I will make him an help.
What verse is
this? This is verse 18. I will make him an help. And then this help is described with a phrase, meet for him.
Oh.
Exactly like him.
Oh, yeah.
Answering unto him. She's just like him. She is as before him, face to face. What the Hebrew means in this is, I will make him an help, face to face with him.
Now, if somebody's believing for the right wife, that's a good scripture.
That's a good one. He will make you an help.
That's interesting.
Meet for you. Answering unto you is what it means. Mm-hmm. Just like him. Here we are, face to face.
Just right for you.
Just right for you, face to face. The man and the woman, they meet face to face. They come together. They have children. So this is an help.
Mm, I like that.
Face to face. Just like you. And she didn't come from a rib. We have all these fancy sermons about ribs under the arms and this and that. Nope. Didn't come from a rib. She came from a T-S-E-L-A, Tsela, which is Tsela, I think it really is, side. The man went into a deep sleep, and man and woman were together.
Mm-hmm.
And he divided one side and made an help just like him. And then from that, look what it says in the Hebrew. I have a reference Bible, so these words are out. I don't even have to know Hebrew. They're out in the side of my column here. And from the side or the rib, King James says in verse 22, which the Lord God had taken from man, and it's really side, God builded a woman. He builded her. That's how the Hebrew says. He builded her.
Hmm.
Have you got that note on your center reference column?
I don't know. I can't read
it. You can't read it. It's so small.
I was looking for my glasses.
He builded a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Isha, because she was taken out of man, Ish. But she doesn't have a name yet. Later on, Adam is going to name her, and he's going to name her Chaya. Right now, her name is Adam. In the day that they were created, their name were Adam,
okay.
And they had an Ish, a male, and an Isha, a female, but their name was Adam. Well, you know the story. You know that they fell. Verse 8, and after they fell, they heard the voice of the Lord. I could talk to you. I don't know how much time I've got left, but she got her trees mixed up. She got the trees mixed up. How much we got? 7 minutes. Okay, I don't really have time to go into that, but...
Oh, really?
All right. The devil comes and says, you're not supposed to eat of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. She says, the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it. He did not. The tree that was in the midst of the garden was the tree of life. So she had her trees mixed up. The one in the midst was the tree of life. She surely should have eaten of it. But anyway, the devil tricked her. Now, they fell. You know the story. Verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They fell from the glory. The glory had crowned them, but they fell from the glory. They sinned and fell from the glory. Now they see that they're naked. And so they make themselves some little fig leaves. And here comes God. Now, they've been used to walking with Him in the glory.
Oh, yeah.
But they hid themselves. And so the Lord God called unto Adam, and He said, where are you? He knew where he was. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you you were naked? And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you should not eat? And the man said, God is fishing for repentance.
Ah,
so God is fishing for repentance. He knew where they were. I wonder, can you get shots of this fruit here? We are going to let this be God. And this is going to be the man. And this is going to be the woman. And this is going to be the devil. So, here's what he says.
Let's make him black.
You want to make him black? Okay, we put him black.
Make him navy.
I hope you can see him, though, there. But anyway, we'll put him on a little white cloth.
He doesn't deserve to be
red. Yeah, there he is. You can see him.
Okay,
now here. God's fishing for a repentance. And so he asks them here, what happened? And here is what the man said. The man said... The woman that you gave me.
It's everybody's fault but his.
Everybody's fault but his. Oh, but not everybody.
What?
He doesn't mention the devil. Why doesn't he mention the devil? Because he was told to keep that guy out of the garden. He was supposed to guard the garden. Oh. He doesn't want to draw attention that he didn't do his job.
I see. Well, okay.
So he has accused... Two
Everybody's
out of the four.
Wrong but him.
Not everybody, not the devil. He doesn't mention the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what the man said. The woman that you gave me, she commanded me that I should eat, and I did eat. So the Lord God says to the woman, this is why it's not good that they were alone. I mean, part of man had to repent. And the Lord God says to the woman, what have you done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She doesn't blame God. She doesn't blame Adam. She says, here, what happened? And she tells the real truth about what happened. And it's on this, her repentance and her acknowledging what happened, that God says that God then begins to give them redemption. The woman said, whom you gave me, and she said, then God turns immediately. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And God then immediately upon that, he says to the serpent, you're cursed, you're going on your belly. He judges that. And then God gives the promise. What does he give this promise based on? Based on her confession and her repentance. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So Satan right there hears, he's been accused by the woman here, and he hears that a seed is going to come, and it's going to be the seed of the woman. Right there began the war with women, and the war on women, and the war on the seed. And it's not a political war. that we vote, well, this political party doesn't like women, that it's Satan. And he does not like the woman, the body of Christ. He does not like the women. You'll see him, oh, don't you feel so sorry for those women who are just kept in the prisons of a black, barely can peep out. Husbands can kill them. You will find in false religions every time.
Every time
you're going to find in false religions that Satan, and he's the author of the false religions, he always comes down hard on the women. And it started right back there in the garden. And then he, from then on, he's after the women. Now, over by the time they're writing to Paul and they're saying, women are commanded to keep silent back here. No, they weren't. But it's still the war on the women. Keep them silent. More than half of the body of Christ lives in female houses. This is just the house I live in. One time Buddy Harrison was in a meeting where we were. It was a women's meeting, and he didn't want to go, and the Lord wanted him to go and lead the singing. He was Brother Hagin's son-in-law. He said, I don't want to go. It's a women's meeting. And this was in that heavy submission time. And the Lord said, you go up there and you sing. And he said, you remember that woman you prayed for, St. Louis? All one side of her face was paralyzed. All her arm and leg were paralyzed. He said, that's what Satan's attempting to do to my body. He's trying to keep half of it paralyzed. He's kind of trying to keep half of it where it can't preach, it can't speak. And I want you to go up there and I want you to tell that story. And I want you to minister. That was in the heavy submission time. Mm-hmm. And who knows what goes around comes around. Might come around again. And I think it is still in some places where they say that women are not free. But we want you to know that this has to do with the spirit of man. This is good for everybody to know. Spirit, soul, and body. We live in a house, and our house does not limit God. It's our spirit that we serve Him in the spirit.
Amen. Wow, Billy, that's good. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.